The following message was preached at Faith Baptist Church in Everett, Washington. We pray that it will be a blessing to you. If you would like more information about our church, please visit us online at www.fbceverett.com. Now for the message.
Take our Bibles, and we're going to go to the book of James. And I want to talk tonight about the will of God. And I know that we've spoken on this before. I just really have been considering the will of God. And you know, God has a perfect and specific will for each and every one of us. So go to James chapter 1. We're going to look at that scripture first. And then we're going to look, I want to look, in the way of introduction, at a couple other scriptures that speak specifically of God's will. So let's go, if you would, to number one, the book of Romans. Romans, and we're going to look in chapter number 12. And then we're going to go to the book of Ephesians and look at what the Bible says there. So let's look, first of all, at the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12. Of course, Paul here speaking to the believers there in Rome and dealing with what God desires from all of us as Christians. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. And you know the scripture. I mean, it's a pretty familiar passage. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You know, we see Paul here saying, number one, as Christians, we should give to God ourselves. We are to, as he says in verse number one, we are to present, to offer to God our bodies, our lives, as a what? A living sacrifice. You know, how important it is that we get that through our heads. That we are not, as the Bible says, our own, but we are bought with a price. And if you look at verse 1, let's just spend a moment here in way of introduction. If you look at verse 1, the Bible says in the first phrase, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren." So Paul says, because of what I've just told you, I beg of you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. So let's look at what Paul is referring to in chapter number 11. In chapter number 11, in verse 29, it says, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon them upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgment, and his ways are past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him," pay very, very close attention to verse 36, "for of him and through him and to him are" what? "All things. To whom be glory forever. Amen." You want to know what this life is all about? For the Christian, it's all about God. It's all about him. It's all about glorifying God. You know, for the world, see, that's why if you look at verse 2, he says, "And be not conformed to this world." Because this world, who is this world all about? Anybody?
Themselves.
Yeah, themselves. They're all about me. But for the Christian, it's all about who? God, Jesus Christ. And that's why we're commanded, we're warned, to not conform ourselves to this world. Don't act like, don't think like the world. He says it's going to take a transformation in verse 2. He says, "But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." We almost have to come and have a renewal of our mind take place by the Spirit of God. And that's exactly what happens when someone comes to know Christ as Lord and Savior. We find here, though he says this, that ye may prove, again, if it's all about God, then it should be all about whose will? My will or His will?
His will.
His will. Right? He says, don't conform to this world, which is all about themselves, fulfilling their lusts, fulfilling their desires, but be transformed. Have your mind renewed by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. He says, yeah, it's different. It's not about you. It's not about what you want. It's about God and what He wants. And in knowing the will of God and knowing what He desires, it is good, it is acceptable, and it is perfect. You know, it's good in that what God wants us to do is always good. He never leads us in an evil way. He never leads us in a bad way. God always leads us in what is good. Good for His glory and also what's good for us. Let me ask you a question. In God and His love and wisdom, is He ever going to put us in a place that is really bad for us? Now, He might put us in some places we don't care for. I've been there, haven't you? And you say, God, why are you doing this? Why are you putting me through this? But after we come through it, so often aren't we able to look back and say, boy, that was good for me. God did. He knew what I needed to do. And even though the devil worked, He worked out what is good in my life. You know, this reminds me, go to, if you would, to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. And you know, I think you may know where I'm going. In verse number 28. Right? So it talks about that good will of God. It's always good. It's good for us. Alright? So look at verse 28. This makes more sense now. He says, and we know that what? Well, look at verse 27. This works all just perfect. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints, what? According to the will of God. The Spirit of God, as He abides in us, when we pray and He helps us, He helps us pray according to the will of God, that God's will be done. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for what? Good! What God wants to see in our life is good. Now, sometimes that good may be struggle. Sometimes that good may be trials. But it's always for our good. And it always works out for our good, for the best. And that's what we have to recognize. It's difficult to recognize that. You know, I know while we're a small body tonight, all of us have gone through those times of trial. And we say, God, why? Why are you taking me through this, Lord? God always knows what is best for us, what is good for us. If we love Him, if we just do what He has called us to do, we simply desire to do His will. Going back to our introduction here in Romans chapter 12, that good, and number two, that acceptable. You know, it is acceptable to us to do the will of God. You know, something that is unacceptable, something that cannot be done or we cannot receive. God says that His will is acceptable. Acceptable in that, you know what? We have to understand that it is the will of God. That it is He that is leading us in this direction. You know, oftentimes someone will try to get you to do something you don't want to do. And we'll, if we don't want to do it, if it's not right, we say, that's unacceptable. I'm not accepting that as what I'm going to do. But we can always accept God's will because it is that very thing. It is God's will. But look thirdly at the third term. It is what? Perfect. And looking at it being good and acceptable, we have to understand, William, that when we do God's will, that it is what is perfect. None of us can see the future. Elizabeth, can you see the future? Do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? No, not exactly. You hope maybe you'll get up and eat some breakfast and play some games, maybe read a few books, feed the cat. You know, that's all things we plan on doing, but Elizabeth does not know what's going to happen tomorrow, nor do any of us. We don't even know what's going to happen a half an hour from now, but who does? God. And what He leads us to do, He does because it is perfect. It is exactly what needs to be done. He knows, He sees, He has the foreknowledge to understand the direction He wants things to go, and we just simply need to accept it. Let's go, if you would, in way of introduction to the book of Ephesians tonight. And considering the will of God, what He desires, what He wants from us, we find in Ephesians chapter number 5, another text that deals with, that discusses the will of God. In verse, I could go read the whole chapter, but just for sake of time, verse 14, he says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest." This is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." So what is he saying? He's saying, wake up! If you're not saved, get saved. If you are saved, walk in the light. Walk according to the will of God. He says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." So, okay, we're commanded to what? Walk as wise men. Walk wisely, not foolishly. Then in verse number 16, he says, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." I submit to you, the only way that we can redeem the time, the only way that we can use our time in a wise manner, is to follow the admonition of verse number 17. "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but what? Understanding what the will of the Lord is." The only way that we can walk in a wise manner is to what? Walk according to the will of God. To do what He wants us to do. And that's where all of us must search our hearts and ask ourselves, am I in the will of God? Am I doing today what God wants me to do? Questioning every action, questioning every motive, questioning everything that we do, and asking ourselves, is this God's will? Is this what is right? Now, we have what I would say is the revealed and the, I believe, the individual will of God for everyone. God reveals to us in His Word certain things that He wants us to do, right? Andrew? All right. Andrew, give me an example. What is one thing that God in His Word tells us is His will, He wants us to do? All right. Study the Word of God, right? We're told in the book of 2 Timothy, right? Study to show thyself approved unto God. We are to study the Word of God. Anyone else? What is another thing that we know to be the will of God? What does God want us to do? William? All right. Obey our parents. How's that? Okay. So for children, God commands them to what? Obey their parents. We know that to be the will of God. Something else? Elizabeth? So we got reading our Bible, we have praying, we don't have praying. But praying is another one, right? Is that what you were going to say, wasn't it? Yeah, okay. Prayer. We're told to pray. What's another thing? We're told to be thankful, right? These are things that we know. We're told to be a witness. In Acts 1:8, He tells the disciples, "Gathered there, and ye shall be what? Witnesses unto Me." We're commanded to witness. And there's many other things that God has revealed to us as His will. But then, God also has a will that is for you and I individually. So let us go, if you would, now to our text, and that's in the book of James. James chapter number 1. If there's anything that I can leave you with tonight, is the admonition to find God's will for your life and do it. The preacher at the church I grew up in, that was one of his key sayings. It seemed like every message he was saying, find God's will and do it. And I appreciate that. It was drilled into my mind as something that is imperative for every Christian. James chapter number 1. Now, all right, James chapter number 1. Now, you ladies, a couple ladies that we have here tonight, you're very familiar with the book of James after your Bible study. So I'm going to try to show you what the Word says, but you've already got it down, I'm sure. But hopefully it'll be a blessing. James chapter number 1. So let's just review. We know that God has a will for us. It is good, it is acceptable, and it is perfect. We know that in order to walk wisely as the Bible commands us, we have to know the will of God. If we don't know His will and we're just walking whichever way we want to walk, we are walking foolishly. God knows exactly the direction and the path that we should take. Now, in James chapter 1... James here deals with the idea of trials and temptations, the trying of one's faith. And oftentimes when we endeavor and when we desire to do the will of God, William, we're going to find our faith is tried. For example, you go down a path and God says, this is where I want you to go, whether it be giving or whether it be an area of ministry. Oftentimes, God will try your faith. A good example, my wife and I were discussing this today, is God calling our family here to Washington State. I will not lie to you. There's been times, even of late, where God has tried my faith. I know it's His will. I know this is where He wants us. I know this is His perfect will. But, oh boy, there are times where I have to say, Lord, really? Really? Is this it? There's got to be more to it. And James here defines that, and he says, my brethren, verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that what? The trying of your faith worketh patience. We are commanded to allow and to just be, really what he's telling us to do is be faithful. Stay on the path. Don't veer to the right, don't veer to the left. As the song says, keep in the middle of the road. We're told that the trying of our faith, those times where those trials and those temptations come and they try to pull us off the path, what does it do? It works patience. Now, what does that mean exactly? Patience. Being long-suffering. Allowing God's will to complete itself, to work itself out in our lives. That is one thing, I tell you, I know for me, maybe you're different, but for me, patience is one thing that I struggle with. Being patient. Allowing myself to wait. To wait upon God. You know, I look at what I want. I see the goals and the desires of my heart. And I see, and it's not a bad thing. I see what God wants. I see the great things that God wants to do in our church and in our home and in our family. And you know what? I want those things now, right? I'm sure all of us could look at areas of our life and say, man, I want this to happen today. Well, sometimes that's not the way God works. And many times it's not the way He works. He doesn't just work things out on our timetable. He wants us to be faithful. Stay doing what He's told you and called you to do. And you know what? When your faith is tried, understand it works patience. Because the next time your faith is tried, guess what? You're just a bit stronger because of the last trial. And in verse 4, he says, but let patience, what? Have her perfect work. Patience, waiting upon God, allows us to realize what? The end of God's will, to see God's will accomplished. He says that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. But let's look at verse 5. He says, if any of you lack wisdom. See, the first place we got to get to, though, as Christians, is got to get into what is God's will. We've got to understand and know what is God's will so that we can do it. Well, how do we know God's will? You know what? It simply comes down to this. Number one, it comes down to we simply have to ask. You know, a lot of people look at the will of God as some sort of carrot out there that God dangles in front of us and that we have to sort of search out. It's a mystery. God's will is not a mystery. What keeps us from knowing the will of God is ourselves. Number one, many times we don't know the will of God is because we don't ask. Did not Jesus say, ask and it shall be what? Given unto you. Seek and ye shall find, not, and shall be open unto you. There are many Christians today who haven't even sought the will of God. They haven't even asked. They're just content doing what they think and what they consider to be right. But shouldn't that be something we ask every day? God, what is your will for me today? What am I to do today? Lord, lead me, guide me. Oftentimes, though, we'll go days, maybe even weeks, without even asking, Lord, what is your will? How can we know that we're in God's will unless we ask? He commands us here in verse 5 to ask. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, if you lack the knowledge and the understanding of the way you should go, let him what? Ask of God. I'm convinced tonight that most Christians don't know the will of God because they don't ask. They don't ask. They don't say, God, what is your will? God wants us to know. He says that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, at what? Look at verse 5. Is that not a promise? And at what? Shall be given him. God says, if you'll ask me, I'll give it to you. I'll give you more than you want to know. You just need to ask. I really am convinced that tonight the reason we lack knowledge of God's will, what God wants us to do, is we don't ask. I challenge you. When's the last time you asked God, God, what is your will? What do you want? I think if we're honest, there's many times we don't even ask. We don't even seek. But look at verse 6. Sometimes we'll ask, but we'll ask in the wrong way. He says, but let him ask in what? Faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let's go back to what I talked about in knowing the revealed and the personal will of God for everyone. God is not going to reveal to us His personal will, Andrew, unless we are first doing what is His revealed will. See, God in His Word reveals to us what we are to do. He gives us things. He says, these are the things. I want you to pray. I want you to read your Bible. I want you to be a witness. I want you to be faithful to the assembly of God's people. I want you to give. I want you, write all these things down in a row. And so many times, we pick and choose what we want to do. Well, okay, God, yeah, it's like a buffet. We went to a buffet today for Father's Day. I like buffets. You know why? Because you've got all kinds of choices. You guys like buffets? Yeah. I mean, if you're at the Chinese buffet, you can get chicken nuggets, you can get French fries, you can get ribs, you can get chicken teriyaki, you can get egg drop soup. I mean, hey, whatever you want. There's no one at the buffet telling you, you must eat this. I love it. Kids love it. I love taking the kids there. Because they eat what they want to eat. There's no, very rarely is there any food left over. Not in the buffet, but on their plates. Sometimes it seems like that. I'll tell you, if you go to that Chinese buffet, boy, they put new crab legs out. Watch out. Katie bar the door. That is like a mad rush. It's like a I don't even go over there. I'm afraid I'll get hurt. But we oftentimes, I love a buffet for eating, but oftentimes we treat God's Word like a buffet. We take and we eat and we choose what we think is right. Instead of just saying, you know what? If God's Word says that I'm going to do it, that's His will. So, going back to our text, he says, but let him ask in faith, what? Nothing wavering. If we're going to ask God to reveal to us His individual will for our lives, then we must ask in faith. We must demonstrate to Him that we are willing and able and ready to do what He's already shown us to do. Why would God show to us His will for us individually if we won't do what He's already shown us to do? That's why He says, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth. So many times we're that way. We want to know the will of God because we have some other motive for knowing God's will. But he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We cannot have two minds. Let me explain this. So many times we will approach the Lord with a double mind. On one side, we say how much we want to serve Him, how much we love Him. But on the other side of our mouth, we're talking about what we want to do and about ourselves and what's right for me. Doing what, and really in a spirit of disobedience to His Word. Now, that is double-mindedness. God wants us to be singly minded. That we are willing to obey what not only is written in His Word, but what He calls us to do. You see what I'm saying tonight? We cannot be double-minded. We must be singly minded to say, I'm going to live my life by faith. I'm going to do what God tells me to do in His Word, Andrew. I'm going to not only do what He tells me to do in His Word, but when He speaks to my heart and He tells me something specifically to do, I'm going to do that too. But I'm first going to demonstrate that I'm willing to do God's will because I will do what He's already told me to do. So like when you run a business or you have employees, a good employee You'll find them because, you know what? They'll just simply do what you tell them to do. It's hard to find people like that nowadays, isn't it? Brother Brad, he's got some men that work for him there at the fire station. It's hard to find men that will just simply do what the boss tells them to do. They've got their own ideas. And so employees will often wonder, why don't I get more responsibility? Why don't I get more opportunity? Well, because you don't do what I told you to do in the first place. I tell you to go and I tell you to wash the fire engines and you're down doing something else. Same where I worked. I'll tell a guy, this is the task I want you to do, and they'll go work on something else. And then they'll wonder, well, why aren't you giving me more opportunity? And my answer always is because you won't do what I told you to do in the first place. And I believe it's the same thing with God. God is not going to reveal to us His individual will until we simply do what He's already revealed to us. And so the challenge tonight is for us to ask ourselves, if we're uncertain of what God's will is, why? Is it because we're not asking? Because God says, if you ask, I'll show you. Or is it because we're asking, but we're not doing so in faith? We're not demonstrating to God that we're willing to do what He's already revealed to us by faith. That's exactly what is required of us. The Bible tells us, go if you would to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 11. Tonight, the message is very, very simple. Not real complex. But it's important. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, it says, but without faith, it is what? Impossible, Andrew, to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Let me just take a moment on this verse. First of all, it's laid out very clearly that you cannot please God without faith. What is faith? Faith is taking the Word of God at face value and obeying it. That's a real simple saying, I know, but I could get more complex. But at the basics, that's really what faith is. It's saying, God said it, I'm going to do it. That's faith. And I'm going to do it until He tells me to stop. So, if we are not seeking out what God wants us to do and working it out in our lives, then we cannot please Him. If we're only doing things that make sense to us, we're not pleasing Him. Oftentimes, what God will ask us to do goes against our fleshly nature, doesn't it? Think about it. Let me use the example of giving. I know at times, giving goes against my flesh. Because there's other things that I'd rather do with that money. My flesh would rather go out and buy something for myself. However, God says, you know what? 10% of all the increase that I give you belongs to me. So faith dictates that I need to give God that. Even though it doesn't make sense. I could talk about church attendance. I could talk about Bible reading, prayer. I could talk about a variety of things. Many of the things that God asks us to do, He tells us to what? Pray without ceasing. That goes against my flesh. My flesh just wants to get over with prayer, do my 15-minute ditty in the morning, and I'm good to go. That's not what He says to do. He says we ought to be in a constant state of prayer throughout the day. So without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now let's look at the latter part of verse 6. It says, for he that cometh to God. So you say, I want to know God's will, Pastor. I want to do God's will. Well, you first of all got to come to God and believe that He is. You got to believe that He's God. And you've got to live and act like it. He said, I believe there's God. Sometimes, you know, we say we believe there's a God, but we don't live like there's a God. And then He says this. He says, and that He is a what? A rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God rewards, God blesses those that diligently follow after God. Notice that word diligently. It's not a half-heartedness. Being a Christian is a full-time job. I preached that this morning. You know, if you're going to reach your family for the Lord, you're going to have to be consistent. You've got to be sold out. You say, Pastor, I don't know, you know, there's certain elements of my family, children or spouses or things that aren't what they ought to be. How do I reach them, Pastor? Well, number one, you ought to pray for them, of course. But number two, the greatest thing you can do for people in your family that are away from God is just live for God. Simply, just live for God. Live for Him. diligently, he says here in verse 6, he says, "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." The question tonight, and I'm done, is, are you diligently seeking God? Following after him and saying, "I just want to do what God wants me to do. I'm crossing every T, dotting every I as a Christian. I'm trying to keep all my ducks in a row. I want to be a student of the Word of God. I want to be someone who is in a state of prayer constantly. I want to be someone who is a witness. I want to be someone who is a giver. I want to be someone who is faithful to be a part of the assembly of God's people. I want to do these things, Pastor." That kind of attitude God blesses. And that's what he's saying here. God rewards them that diligently seek him. We go to verse 7. If you're here this morning for our message on Noah, I tell you, I think Noah was the kind of guy who diligently sought God. Let me go back to what I said this morning. How many can tell me, see who was paying attention, how many years did Noah build the ark and preach the gospel? Do you remember? 120 years. For 120 years. Now, wrap your brain around that. That's 40 years longer than most of us, 50 years or 30 years longer than most of us will live. The Bible says the years of a man are what? 70. 70. If we get longer than that, praise the Lord. It's a bonus. All right? So, 120 years, Moses built the ark and preached what God told him to preach. He sought God. He sought what God wanted for his life. And you know what? God rewarded him. God saved him and his family. He blessed. And that's what exactly it says in verse 7. "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear." He says, "I want to serve God." And he diligently sought him. You can, if we go back to our text, you can know the will of God. And if you fail to know the will of God, it's number one, either because you're not asking, or you're not asking by faith. You're not living and demonstrating to God that you're willing to live a life of faith to know His will. God's will. May we know it. May we live in it. May He bless. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You.